Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. There is a narration from Imam Bukhari رحمة الله عليه and Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه. The dear Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, says, the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said to me, recite the Quran upon me. Iqra alayhi al-Quran. Faqultu ya Rasulullah aqra wa alayka unzil. O Messenger of Allah, am I to recite the Quran upon you when the Quran was revealed upon you? Allah Azza wa Jal gave you the Qur'an through the means of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. Malaika are reciting the Qur'an for you. Who am I to read the Qur'an? The Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, Inni uhibbu an asma'ahu min ghayri. I wish to listen to the Qur'an from someone else. So then Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu began to recite the verses of the Qur'an, and as he was reciting them, they were affecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bear in mind, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was a companion that was with the Prophet of Allah right from the beginning. According to many, he was within the first 10 to accept Islam. This man that was by the side of the Prophet of Allah throughout the entire journey is now reciting the verses to the Prophet of Allah. And imagine what kind of hal and kayfiyah and state this brings the Prophet of Allah into. That he says that when I was reciting the ayah, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. As he completed the recitation of this verse, he peeked up and the Prophet of Allah said, حَسْبُكَ الْآنِ. Stop, that's enough. And when he looked up, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's eyes were flowing with tears. Similarly, we see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in more than one place, makes reference to the effect of listening to the Qur'an. We've been talking a lot about reading the Qur'an, but there is a barakah, there is a path of building a relationship with the Qur'an that involves listening to it, like we do in salah. That you appreciate the ayat of the Qur'an that are recited to you. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. True believers are those, innama lilhasr, innama almu'minun. True believers are who? The Quran describes them with multiple characteristics. And one of the things, idha tuliyat alayhim ayatuhu, when the verses of Allah are recited upon them, zadatum imana, it increases them in faith. Just nourishing the ears and the heart through listening to the recitation of the Quran, it has such a powerful impact on the person. Instead of listening to music, instead of listening to radio, instead of wasting your time watching episode after episode of whatever show it is that's your favorite right now, these things have no consequence. Today's favorite song will become tomorrow's old one. And then after that, it'll be forgotten. There were songs that were around before that'll songs be around tomorrow. These things don't mean much. Most of these songs are written by people that are heartbroken, many of them in a state of intoxication. Allah knows what the outcome of these people actually is. But the Quran, listening to it, will nourish your soul and your mind and will pay back in dividends. Make a habit of listening to the Quran. Cut off the radio. Turn down the music. Delete that Spotify. Get rid of YouTube music. Put all these things on hold in life. When a person listens to the Quran, you build an acquaintance with it. You build a strong relationship with it. Marana Qasim Ranotwi rahmatullahi alayhi was the founder of one of the greatest seminaries in the subcontinent, Darul Ulum Deoband. On his first Hajj that he went on, he boarded his ship from Karachi. He arrived there at the port, he boarded the ship there. This was a common port for Hujjaj to go on Hajj. This was at a time where even the technology in the ships that carried the Hujjaj was quite primitive in comparison to the technology we have today. Planes and even ships have advanced so much. So the journey of Hajj would take multiple months. In order for him to make it to Makkah Mukarramah in Dhul-Hijjah, his journey started in the month of Shawwal, 4 months earlier, 4 or 5 months earlier. And slowly they were in the ship. The month of Ramadan came. There were a few hundred passengers, 200-300 passengers on the ship. And he asked them, "That what's your plan for Taraweeh? We're all here, we're going for Hajj. Everyone's ready to say Labbaik soon. What are we going to do for Taraweeh prayer?" So one of them said, "We're going to do Alam Tara Kayfafa. Alam Tara Kayfafa ala Rabbuka fi Ashab al Fil." How many surahs is that? That's 10. We're going to read this twice. 20 rakat Taraweeh will be done. Ma'ana Qasim Nanuti rahmatullahi alayhi, at that point in his life, he was not a hafiz. He said, "This is unacceptable to me. Insha'Allah, I will memorize one juz every day and I will recite it in Taraweeh prayer." And that's exactly what he did. He became hafiz of the Quran in 1 month. This wasn't just a person who had never opened the Quran, who had never spent his time with the Quran. This was a man who dedicated his life teaching the Quran. Even though he hadn't formally memorized it, he spent so much time writing on it, explaining it, referencing it, quoting it. So when duty called, he stood up. And then a similar story we see from Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, when he was sent off to prison along with Sheikh al-Hind rahmatullahi alayhi in their involvement of establishing a Muslim unit, a Muslim body, a Muslim bloc to oppose the British colonial powers. They were all sent off to prison. So when he was in prison, the same thing happened. He asked the prisoners, "How are we going to do Taraweeh?" They said, "We don't have any intizam. There's no preparation for this." Every day he memorized one juz and led Taraweeh that night. Every night he memorized one juz, and later on that night he led the Taraweeh prayer. How these people did this, the relationship they built with the Quran, was because they had a strong bond with it. They would always listen to it. They would study it. They would read it. And today's dars is about that. Today's dars is about listening to the Quran, finding a reciter whose recitation is enjoyable to you. If you're someone who likes to listen to the Quran with translation, walhamdulillah. And if you're someone who likes to just listen to the recitation of the Quran, walhamdulillah. Some parents, they have this habit that in the morning, when their children wake up and as they're going through the routine of getting ready and getting changed and having their breakfast before they head out the door, they play Surah Yasin. So throughout the house, it's echoing. Or sometimes mothers or fathers, in the morning when the kids get into the car, instead of just sitting there silently, they turn on Surah Yasin. They start the day with Surah Yasin. Those children, they don't know much. They probably may not even be able to recognize Alif Ba Ta Tha Jim Ha Kha. Young kids, I'm talking about 3-4-year-olds. But if you tell them Surah Yasin Sunnah, read the opening verses, they'll broken, you know, like kind of like in Tor Mororke, like a little bit here, a little bit there, but they'll read Surah Yasin. That's the effect listening to the Quran has. You ask someone who knows music lyrics, they recite a song for me and they'll read off, they'll karaoke song after song for you without even looking at any screen. They can just, and you ask that person, "Did you actually sit down and memorize these lyrics?" What would they say? No. It was purely through listening. Just listening to it again and again. "I remember the songs that were common when I was 10 years old and I was 5 years old. Oh, I heard this song in the restaurant. I used to always play there when I would go to pick up my chai or go to pick up the rice for my family." And you pick up these things. The same effect you can benefit if you choose to listen to the Quran. Open up these windows of yours. Instead of letting pollution in, let the pure breeze of revelation enter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that it'll become your joy. It'll become your happiness. One of the mashayikh, my teacher told me the story regarding one of his teachers, that in his old age, he became so weak, he wasn't able to even do dhikr. So he would tell his students, sit next to me and do dhikr of Allah. I'm too old, I can't do it anymore. It's very difficult for my body, for me to exert myself. But when I hear the dhikr of Allah happening around me, it reminds me of my childhood. It reminds me of my earlier life. And if in this state like this, Allah Azza wa Jal takes my soul, I'll be so honored that I left this dunya while listening to the Quran. Someone dies while listening to songs. Someone dies while cursing someone, swearing at someone. And then there are these awliya of Allah who desire to leave this dunya while listening to the dhikr of Allah. And with that, we'll conclude today by turning to a great historical figure, Salahuddin Ayyubi. One of his famous biographers, who wrote extensively on the biography of Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, was a man by the name of Ibn Shaddad. So he says that Salahuddin Ayyubi, he went out to receive the returning Hujjaj. There was a group of a caravan that was returning. He went to receive them, and he came back home, and his fever picked up. He remained sick for over 2 weeks. His health deteriorated. And the final moments of his life, that final night, he called the Qari of the Qur'an, Sheikh Abu Ja'far, and he said to him, recite the ayat of the Qur'an for me. This is a man that was a mujahid who fought against, you know, great empires, who destroyed the crusaders. He dedicated his life protecting the ummah. Many historians say Salahuddin Ayyubi never performed hajj in his life. He was so busy on the duty of ribat, protecting the Muslim frontier and fighting and gathering ummah together and uniting the ummah and purifying the lands from the impurity that had plagued the ummah. He was on his final moments on his deathbed and he was ill. And he said to the Qari Abu Ja'far, Sheikh Abu Ja'far, that recite the Qur'an for me. And he started reciting and he was reading for a long time until he came to Surah Hashr. And he was reading the final verses of Surah Hashr. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. He is Allah, no God but Him, the one who knows the hidden and the apparent. سمعه وهو يقول. He heard the statement and Salahuddin Ayyubi just began to say out loud, صحيح صحيح صحيح. This is true, this is true, this is true. And his biographers write, it was while listening to the Qur'an in those final moments, soon after that, he departed from this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that listen to the Qur'an. And may Allah azza wa jal make us all true companions of the Qur'an. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.